Good morning, everyone. This is 9:07 a.m. I am reading from Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the third wheel. Sorry for the abrupt cut, I should say. So this time I'm going to read from the third wheel. Let's say I'm sorry about that. So why should just forget about that book and let's read the third wheel. January Sunday. I wish I'd started keeping a journal a lot earlier on, because whoever ends up writing my biography is gonna have a lot of questions about my life in the years leading up to middle school. Luckily, I remember just about everything that's happened to me since I was born. In fact, I can remember the stuff. Sorry for the breaking transmission, someone came to interrupt. Let's start from luckily. Luckily, I remember just about everything that's happened to me since I was born. In fact, I can remember stuff that happened to me before I was born. Back in those days, it was just me swimming around in the dark, doing black flips and taking naps whenever I wanted. Then one day, when I was in the middle of a really good nap, I got woken up by this not strange noises coming from outside. At the time, I didn't know what the heck I was hearing, but later on, I found out that it was Mom piping in music through these speakers she put on her belly. I guess Mom thought if she played classical music every day before I was born, I would turn into some kind of genius. Those speakers came in a microphone, and when Mom wasn't playing music, she was telling me everything that was going on in her life. And then Mommy went to the store where she bought you an adorable blue hat with little dumplings on it. When Dad came home from work, Mom would have him give me a blow by blow of his day. So then I told Bill I did sign the bottom of this one of the 1044, and then I flipped the paper over so he could see it for himself. But that wasn't the end of it. Every night, Mom would read to me for half an hour before she went to bed. Mr. Wimpkins, I beg your pardon. Sir Oliver Twist has asked for more. The problem was my sleep schedule didn't line up with Mom's, so when she was sleeping, I'd be wide awake. I actually wish I'd paid more attention when Mom was reading to me, though. Last week in school, we had a pop quiz on a book, and I hadn't read it yet. I was pretty sure Mom read that one to me before I was born, but I couldn't remember any of the details. Sorry for the breaking transmission again. I'm going to be cutting like this because my family likes to like interrupt. And yeah. So let's start from last week. Last week in school, we had a pop quiz on a book and I hadn't read it yet. I was pretty sure Mom read that one to me before I was born, but I couldn't remember any of the details. What does Oliver Twist ask for that gets him in trouble? Think! I guess the week Mom was reading that book, I was busy doing something else. I wonder where this thing goes. Yank, yank. The crazy thing was Mom didn't need to use the microphone for me to hear her. I mean, I was inside her, so I could hear every word she said, whether I wanted to or not. I crave pickles, but I can't eat them because they make me gassy. Do I really need to be hearing this? I could hear just about everything that happens on the outside. So when Mom and Dad got all mushy, I had to listen to that too. Eek! I've never felt really comfortable when people are acting affectionate around me, especially when it's my parents. I tried to get them to stop, but they never got the message out. Cut it out! Kick, kick, kick. In fact, everything I tried just seemed to make things worse. After a few months of living like that, I had to get out of there, and that's why I was born 3 weeks early. But after being hit by the cold air and the blinding lights of the delivery room, I wished I'd just stayed put. It's a boy! Boop, beep, beep. By the time I came into the world, I was totally sleep deprived and in a really lousy mood. So if you ever see a picture of a newborn, now you know why they always look ticked off. Introducing our little bundle of joy, Gregory Heffley, 5 pounds, 7 ounces. In fact, I still haven't caught up on the sleep I've missed, and believe me, I've been trying. You're late for school. Ever since I was born, I've tried to recreate the feeling I had way back when I was floating in the dark as happy as could be. But when you're living in a house with 4 other people, some fool's always gonna come along and ruin things for you. Do you people mind? I met my older brother, Roderick, a few days after I was born. Up to that point, I thought I was an only child, so I was pretty disappointed to find out I wasn't. My family then was living in a really small apartment back then, and I had to share a room with Roderick. He got the crib, so the first few months of my life, I had to sleep in the top dresser drawer, which I'm pretty sure isn't even legal. Eventually, Dad moved his work stuff out of the room he was using as an office and made it into a nursery. I got Roderick's old crib, and he got a new bed. Almost everything I had back in those days was a hand-me-down from Roderick. By the time that something came to me, it was either worn out or covered in slobber. Even my dummy was a hand-me-down from Roderick. I don't think he was ready to give it up, though, which might explain why he's never really liked me. You don't need this anymore, whoop. And here you go, floop. It was just the 4 of us for a long time. And then one day, Mom told me she was gonna have another baby. I was glad she gave me the heads up so I could be ready. The upstairs bathroom is mine. When my little brother Manny came along, everybody thought he was so cute. But what they didn't tell you about that after you're born about but that they didn't but what they didn't tell you about babies that after they're born they have this black stuff on their belly button where the umbilical cord was tied off. Eventually, the stuff dries up and falls off, and the baby has a regular looking belly button. The thing is, nobody has ever found Manny's stub. So to this day, I'm still paranoid it's gonna show up somewhere. Stop picking at your food! Poke, poke. When I was a newborn, Mom put me in front of TV for an hour a day to watch educational videos. I don't know if those videos made me any smarter, but at least I was smart enough to figure out how to put on something I wanted to watch. I also figured out how to remove the battery from the remote so no one could turn the educational videos back on. Why isn't this thing working? Click, click, click. But when you're a baby, you can't really get around a lot, so there was only one place you could hide the batteries. How did these get in your diaper again? Shoot. I think Mom should have let me crawl around on the floor more when I was little, because I was way behind other kids in my playgroup when it came to physical stuff. Almost there. Then one day, Mom brought me this thing called a Baby Adventures Action Worker, which was the first thing I ever got that Roderick didn't have before me. The Action Walker was awesome. It had a million little gadgets that you could entertain yourself with, plus a cup holder. But the best thing about it was that I could get anywhere I needed to without actually having to walk. I could tell that when I was in my Baby Adventures Action Walker, and my little playgroup friends felt like little chums. But then, Mom read some parenting magazine. But then, Mom read in some parenting magazine that it wasn't a good idea to use baby walkers because kids wouldn't develop the right muscles to walk on their own. So Mom returned the action walker to the store, and I was back to square one. It took a long time, but eventually I did learn how to walk. And before I knew it, I was in preschool. I was hoping I'd have a head start over the other kids because of all the work Mom had put in with the classical music and educational DVDs. But the other moms must have done that stuff too because the competition in preschool was pretty stiff. I mean, you had kids in there who knew how to use buttons and zippers when I could barely figure out how to pull off my mittens without help from a grown-up. A few of my classmates could write their own name, and one or two could count all the way to 50. I knew I couldn't keep up, so I decided to try and slow everyone else down by feeding them bad information. My plan kind of backfired, though, and my preschool teacher told Mom I wasn't learning my colors and shapes like the other kids. But Mom said I was smart and that maybe the problem was I wasn't being challenged enough. So Mom actually took me out of preschool and made me skip a grade to kindergarten. But that decision was a total disaster. The kids in kindergarten seemed like giants to me. They knew how to do stuff like cut with scissors and color inside the lines. I didn't even make it a whole day in kindergarten before the teacher had to call Mom to get me. The next day, Mom brought me back to preschool and asked the teacher if I could have my copy back. I just hope your academic record doesn't follow you around because it might be tough for me to get a good job later on if people find out I was a kindergarten dropout. I'm pretty sure Mom decided that whatever she tried with me, when I was little didn't work out because she's taken a totally different approach with Manny. For starters, Mom pretty much lets Manny watch whatever he wants on TV. So he keeps it on this show called The Snurples 24 hours a day. I tried to watch The Snurples a few times, but I had no idea what was going on. The Snurples have their own language that I guess only 3-year-olds can understand. After Manny watches the show, he gets frustrated when no one in our family can understand him. But the other day, Mom read an article in the newspaper that said, watching The Snurples actually sets kids back about a year with their language development and messes up their social skills too. Well, that explains a lot, because Manny doesn't have any real friends, and whenever Mom holds a playgroup at our house, Manny is the only one who doesn't interact with the kids. I think part of the issue is that Manny doesn't like to share his toys, so when kids come over, Manny locks himself inside our old dog Sweetie's exercise bin and keeps his toys all to himself. And whenever Mom tries to get Manny to play with other toys or the kids on his own, it backfires. At our church, they have this new thing where they send all the little kids down to the basement during service so they can play and color. But for the first time Mom dropped Manny off downstairs, there was only one kid in the play area, and he told Manny he was a vampire. I felt a little bad for Manny because I had to deal with a scary kid when I was his age, too. I was stuck in preschool with this boy named Bradley, who terrorized me every chance he got. I told Mom about Bradley every day when I came home, and said I didn't want to go to school anymore. But that summer, Bradley and his family moved away, so the problem took care of itself. After Bradley moved, Mom wrote a story called Bad Bradley about a kid who owes him PAs, because Bradley was a bad kid in real life, but in Mom's version, he was pretty much a devil. I think Mom was actually going to try to get her story published, but Bradley and his family moved back into her neighborhood the next spring, so she had to scrap it. Even though Mom never got her Bradley story published, she used it to teach Manny about how you're supposed to behave in preschool. And I think that's one of the reasons why Manny is so afraid of other kids his age. Manny may not have any real friends, but he has a bunch of imaginary ones. I've kind of lost count of them all, but the names I can remember are Joey, Petey, Danny, Charles Dribble, the other Charles Dribble, Tiny Jim, and Johnny Cheddar. I don't know how Manny came up with all those figures, but believe me, to him, they're real. One time, Mom took all his imaginary friends to the grocery store and had a total meltdown when Mom supposedly left Charles Dribble behind in the frozen fruits aisle. Sometimes I wonder if Manny made up his imaginary friends so he could get stuff like extra dessert after dinner. Mom said if we tell Manny his so-called friends are real, he will be traumatized. So we just have to go along with it. I hope he goes out of this soon because it's getting kind of ridiculous. Sometimes I have to wait until all Manny's imaginary friends are done using the bathroom before I can get in. Lately, Manny has been blaming things he does on his imaginary friends. The other day, he smashed a plate on the floor and then told Mom it was Johnny Cheddar, who seems to be the troublemaker of the pack. Instead of punishing Manny for breaking a plate and then lying about it, Mom gave a timeout to Johnny Cheddar. What really stinks is that the timeout chair is the brand new recliner in the family room, so I couldn't sit in it to watch television. Like I said, I know this whole imaginary thing is a bunch of baloney, but Manny acts so serious about it that it's kind of spooky. Whenever I go to sit down somewhere in the house, I make sure none of Manny's friends are around. The last thing I need to do is plop down on the sofa to watch TV and squish Tiny Jim. It's not like I'm watching a lot of TV these days. Anyway, Mom is pretty worried about Manny and his social skills, so she doesn't like the TV to be on when Manny's around. Recently, Mom came up with this idea called Family Night, where we play a board game or go out to dinner together instead of watching TV. I guess the idea is to get us to interact with one another more, so it rubs off on Manny. When we go out to dinner, we usually end up at this place called Corny's Family Style Restaurant. They have a rule at Corny's that you're not allowed to wear a tie, and the first time we went there, Dad found out that at the hard way. There are a few different seating sections at Corny's, but since we always have Manny with us, they put our family in a section called Children's Alley. In Children's Alley, I don't think they even bother cleaning up when one family leaves and a new one comes in. So when you get to your table, there's always crumpled up napkins on the floor and half-eaten french fries on the seat. The first time we went to Corny's, I didn't check my seat and I ended up sitting on an open-faced peanut butter and jam sandwich. Another thing I hate about Children's Alley is that you're right next to the bathrooms and the doors are always swinging open, so you can see in there when you're trying to eat. Also, the service is terrible at Corny's, so we always just get a buffet and serve ourselves. The food is in these metal trays, and there's always stuff from one tray mixing with the others. At the dessert bar, they have an ice cream dispenser where you can make your own sundae. I know that sounds great, but there's a reason why most restaurants don't allow customers to operate the soft serve machines. One of the reasons Mom likes to go to Corny's is that they have a ball pit, and she's hoping Manny will learn to play with other kids his age. But Manny usually just buries himself in a pile of balls to hide from the other kids, and then waits it out until it's time to go home. Last Thursday, we went to Carnage, and Mom actually made Manny go in the plastic tubes so he couldn't hide in the ball pit. Manny got freaked out up there, though, and he was too scared to come down on his own. Pound, pound, pound. So Mom told me I had to go up there and get him, since I was the only one in the family who was small enough to crawl in the tubes. I tried climbing up to the area Manny had used to get to the tubes, but it was too tight to squeeze, and I had to bail out. That meant the only way I could get to Manny was to climb up that spiral plastic slide that empties into the ball pit. And I'm not a fan of the dark and close space. I'm not a fan of the dark and close spaces to keep with. To begin with, so I wasn't looking forward to crawling up that thing. I yelled into the bottom to make sure the coast was clear, but kids ignored me and came sliding down anyway. Once I made it past the traffic jam and got all the way to the top, I started crawling around through the maze of tubes to find Manny. There was no ventilation up there, and it reeked of dirty socks. I realized I was the wrong person to go looking for Manny, though, because I've always been bad at mazes. This autumn, me and Mom went in the corn maze at Reynolds Farm, and Mom was counting on me to find a way out. But I got so lost that Mom had to call 911 for someone to come rescue us. This time, I didn't have Mom's mobile phone to bail me out. And when some kid threw up at one end of the tunnel, all the other kids came rushing my way to get to the slide. Thank you for listening. There will be only one next time. If I have more time, I might do two. So, see you next time. Goodbye.